Blog Talk.
Ah! Mr. Summer, we bless still with food. Me a running out of blessings are in the me a dead, imagine cause I'm half a cup of water.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm the Lord, I'm the Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm blessed. I'm the one I'm blessed to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed.
Good evening and welcome to Vision. My name is Evangelist Faith Reed. So glad that you have joined me around the world tonight. This is our first broadcast. Just want you to know that I'm so glad that you've joined me. We'll be studying the scriptures each night, starting with the book of Ephesians. Our topic for tonight is having faith in the midst of trouble. Having faith in the midst of trouble. Before we get in our scripture tonight, I just want to let you know that I will be your teacher on these evenings studying the Bible. In addition, I will have guests that will be coming on with me sometime. So tune in because you never know who will be joining me in some of our sessions. Also, I want you to know that if you would like to call in and speak with me, the number to call in is 347-215-7267. Our program will run until 11 p.m., so you can start calling me at about 10:30 p.m. here in Ocala, Florida. Our scripture tonight, beginning in Ephesians chapter 1, if you would bow your head and pray with me as we go to God for His blessing. Father, we just bless you. We lift up your holy name. We honor you, God. I thank you, Lord, for those who are listening to me around the world. I thank you for those that recognize that you are truly God, you are truly King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I thank you, God, that you never leave us nor forsake us. But, God, in the midst of everything, that you still remember us. Lord, bless your people. Bless nations around the world. Bless men and women and children that are looking to you for strength. In the midst of trouble, God, you are our strength. And, Lord, I thank you for remembering your people right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go with me now to the book of Ephesians, beginning at the first verse. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He had made us accepted in the beloved. I like the fact that God calls us His beloved. I like the fact that although we sometimes think that no one remembers us, no one cares about us, that God actually remembers us. He actually sees every teardrop that falls from our eyes. He actually listens to every prayer that we pray. Paul said in verse 2, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "Blessed be our God." In other words, we have to remember to bless the name of Jesus. We have to remember that he is giving us spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In other words, God has already prepared great things for us, and all we need to do is remember to bless him and to praise him for it. The Bible says in verse 4, "According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Isn't it wonderful to understand that before we were born, God chose us? Before we even started to think about God, he had already ordained that we should serve him. And he has already made a way by sending his son Jesus Christ on the cross to die for us. He made a way for us to be able to partake of heavenly things. The Bible says that we should be holy and without blame. That word, if I should take a moment to dissect it, it means to be set apart, to understand that our lives, once we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our lives are not our own, but our lives belong to God. And we should live a clean life. In other words, we might have had a tendency in the past to perhaps smoke or drink alcohol or different things like that when we were not Christians. But once we accept Jesus as our Savior, our lives ought to be set apart for God. The Bible says that we should be without blame before him in love. In other words, once we have changed our hearts and our lives, we are not going to live lives anymore where others can point their fingers and say that we are still living ungodly lives. The Bible says in verse 6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, accepted in the beloved." It is so wonderful to know that we are accepted by God. Even when others try to reject us, even when others try to discount what we have to say, that God loves us. He cares about us, and he calls us his beloved. Verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." In whose blood? In Jesus' blood. We have redemption through Jesus. We have forgiveness of sins through Jesus. The Bible says, wherein in verse 8, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, "Wherein he had abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ." One of these days we're going to be gathered. The Bible says that Jesus himself shall come again, and those who are dead will be caught up. Those who are alive will be caught up. In other words, Jesus did not leave us to forsake us, but he said that one of these days we shall join him again. Look at verse 11. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Friend, do you know that you have an inheritance? Do you know that everything that God has, once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that it belongs to you also? Do you realize that God has prepared great things for you, and that if you would just surrender your life to God, that he would bless you? My friend, he wants you to be blessed. God does not want you to be sad. He wants you to be blessed. Our topic tonight is having faith in the midst of trouble. The thing about living in this life is that there will always be times of trouble. There are always going to be people who talk about you, people who mistreat you, people who say all manner of things about you. But the good thing is that you don't have to pay attention to that. You don't have to focus on negative things, but you can focus on God, because God will give you strength, and he will give you joy, he will give you comfort, he will give you everything that you need to make it in this world. So be encouraged, my friend. Be encouraged, my brother, sister, whoever is listening to me right now. Be encouraged to know that God loves you very much, and that you don't have to be in despair, because God has already said that he will take care of you. If you look at the middle of verse 11, it says, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I want you to know that God called you from your mother's womb. He called you to serve him. Perhaps you have not taken the time to answer the call, but now is a good time to answer the call of God. God has called you to answer his call. The Bible says that being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Many times we want to do our own will, but the bottom line is, we cannot do our own will. We've got to do the will of God, who created us in his own image so that we could serve him. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. My friend, are you trusting in Christ? Have you given him your all? Have you allowed him to enter that secret place in your heart? Have you truly given him your best? He's calling for your best. Verse 12 said that we should be in the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. 13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Have you been sealed? After you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have repented of your sins, meaning that you've asked him to forgive you, and you've made a promise to God that you would turn away from your sins. The Bible says that he seals us with his Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is that third person of the Godhead. He lets us know that, yes, we are truly sealed. We are truly part of the kingdom of God. Verse 14 and 15 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What does the word earnest mean? Well, if it's someone who is desperately trying to get something, we might say that they're trying to get it in earnest. But if we were doing real estate, it would be that money that you put down in that real estate transaction. In other words, this is my money that tells you that I'm serious about buying that piece of property. And so the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our earnest of our inheritance. It is a token. In other words, God has given us something to let us know that he is serious about the fact that he has already provided an inheritance for us. God is serious about what he has promised to us. And the thing about God is that once he has made a promise to us, he always keeps his promise. Are you a witness, my friend, that God always keeps his promises? Sometimes we might not keep our promise to our friends or to our family members, perhaps not even at our jobs, but God always keeps his promises to us, and we can be assured that if we would serve God, that God would always take care of us. I want to remind you that you can have faith in the midst of turmoil. You can have faith in the midst of trouble. There is nothing that is too hard for God to do. And if you join me each evening and study the Word of God with me, you will hear me say it over and over and over again, because I'm a witness that God never fails. I'm a witness that if you would put your trust in God, that God will take care of you. Let's continue on in verse 15. I'm in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. I'm actually reading from the King James Version. If you have a different version, I study from the King James. Verse 15 says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Paul originally wrote this book to the church at Ephesus. And one of the things that he said to them was that he was constantly praying for them and that they would be in his prayers. It is a good thing when Christians remember to pray for one another. I know that we currently live in a very selfish society, and we are encouraged to only think about our own selves and our own families. But as Christians, we are part of a faith community, and we are encouraged to pray and encourage one another. And whenever I read this, I'm encouraged because Paul, although he faced many turmoils and what have you himself, he never stopped praying for others. That is a reminder to all of us that it doesn't matter what you're going through, you can take time and pray for someone else. It doesn't matter what you're facing, you can stop and say, "God, remember the nations around the world. Remember those who are hungry. Remember those who are homeless. Remember those who are sick." Take time out of your schedule and remember someone else, because when you remember others, God will remember your family. The Bible says in verse 16, "Cease not to give thanks for you." Paul says, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Oh, hallelujah. It's so wonderful to know that somebody remembers you. When you don't have the strength to pray for yourself, somebody remembers you. The Bible tells us that Jesus sits on the right hand of God, making intercession for us every day. Somebody does remember you. You are not alone. God will give you strength. Be encouraged. Have faith. Know that God cares about you. Verse 17 says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." My friend, God wants to give you wisdom. He wants you to understand spiritual things. He wants you to understand how much he cares about you and that this is not the time to be discouraged. This is the time to have faith. Verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of this calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward, who believe according to the work, the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I don't know about you, my friend, but I am encouraged when I read the Bible. When he says in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And if we go back a little bit, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are enlightened. You thought you knew it all when you were not a Christian, but when you become a Christian, your eyes are open to the things of God. So many people say to me, well, evangelist or, you know, chaplain, because I also work as a chaplain, I don't feel like I'm ready to be a Christian, and I'm happy with what I'm doing. But on the flip side of that, those who accept Jesus as their personal Savior, they say, I wish I had done it a long time ago. I wish I had not waited so long to become a Christian, because truly I understand that God loves me. He truly is looking to have me serve him, and it is never too late, never too late. It is never, ever too late to truly understand that God cares about you. Never, ever too late to understand that God loves you. I might have said that more than once, but I said it for emphasis to let you know how much God truly loves you, how much he cares about you. And you might get tired of hearing me say it, but you're going to hear me say it over and over again. God loves you, my friend. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. If we can continue for just a little while in this scripture, the Bible says, and you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. If you look at the scripture carefully, the Bible says, and you had he quickened. In other words, you were not alive spiritually when you were not a Christian. But once you accept Jesus, once you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you became alive. Truly alive for the first time. When you were in the past, doing all manner of things, the Bible says, dead in trespasses and sins. If you look at the word trespass, trespass means that you're actually going in a place where you do not belong. If a person trespasses on another person's property, what they're doing is coming on someone else's property uninvited. And so when you were trespassing, what you were doing was disobeying God, not following his commandments, and not listening to his voice. And so therefore, the Bible says you are dead in trespasses and sins. Sins. A sin is anything that is done that is not according to God's law. And so once upon a time, any individual that was not in Christ, actually serving God, was dead, spiritually dead. But the Bible says in verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's the prince of the power of the air? Satan is. Satan is the one who allows sickness and allows death and what have you. He is the one who allows people to go hungry and famines and what have you. The Bible says in time past, you walked according to the things that govern this world. But look at verse 3. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. Once upon a time, we did not care what came out of our mouth. We did not care what we said to people. But once we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then we recognize that when we speak to people, now our conversation has changed. We think before we speak, and the words that come out of our mouth are words of kindness, words of wisdom and words of gentleness. And we are no longer just speaking things out of anger and out of bitterness, but we have allowed God to change our hearts. And so we're no longer bitter, no longer angry, no longer depressed, because God has transformed us. The Bible says in verse 3, among whom also we had our conversation, once again, in time past, in the lust of our flesh. Isn't it something that we walk in a world that says, well, do what you feel like doing, say what you feel like saying, does not matter who you hurt, does not matter what you do. But that is not what God says. God wants us to think. He wants us to act and to respond in a way towards others that is respectful. He does not want us just acting based on our own lust. He wants us to seek his face and to say, God, what is your will for my life? And what should I be doing with my life? Because I know that you have a purpose and a plan for my life. What will you have me to do with my life? Don't let me just do what I feel like doing, but Lord, let me do that which is right in your sight. The Bible says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. It amazes me that God, who is the author and finisher of our faith, God who made the heavens and the earth, God who created everything that we see around us, that he is so rich in mercy. When we don't deserve it, God still remembers us. And he says, my child, whatever it is that you have done wrong in your past, I have forgiven you. All you have to do is seek my face. If you seek me, ye shall find me. If you knock, the door will be opened unto you. All you need to do is knock. All you need to do is seek my face. The Bible says that God is rich in mercy. He has great love for us. How much does he love us? He loves us more than the sand that is on the seashore. God loves us more than the stars of the sky. He loves us. How do we know he loves us? Because he tells us so in his word. The Bible says even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. We had that opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And for those who have already done that, he has given great joy. But for those who are still trying to make up your mind, Jesus is truly the answer. He is the person that can give you joy, who can renew your strength, who can renew your joy. I know that the economy is bad right now and that many are struggling. Many don't have jobs and many are wondering how they're going to make it. But I've got good news for you. The good news is that God has already made a way for you. And if you would just seek his face in prayer, if you would just begin to talk to him and let him know the desires of your heart, let him know your personal situation, I guarantee you that he will hear and he will answer your prayers. The Bible says that in, look at verse 7 with me. The Bible says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. I'm still in Ephesians chapter 2, looking at the 8th verse. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What does that word grace mean? The word grace means God's unmerited favor. What it means is that God stretches out his hand towards us even when we don't deserve it. Even when we turn our backs to God over and over and over again, he still remembers us. Even when we sometimes turn away from him and, you know, we don't want to serve him, perhaps we're angry because we've had a sudden loss in the family, perhaps we're angry because life did not turn out the way that we expected it to turn out. There are many reasons why people become angry at God. And unfortunately, many do get mad at God and turn away from God. But the good thing is, and the good news is, that God never turns away from us. Over and over again, he stands with his arms stretched out saying, my child, I still love you. I care about you. And I care about every area in your life. And if you would allow me to do it, I will handle your problems. I will handle your difficulties. And I will help you in every area of your life. What do I mean by this? Will he help you with your finances? Yes, he will. Will he help you with your personal relationships? Yes, he will. Will he help your children and your loved ones? Yes, he will. There is truly no area of our life that God will not stretch his hand towards to assist us with. I just want to take a moment and just give God praise. You know, I guess I'm going to call these praise breaks because truly God has been good to me. I have to say, if it had not been for God on my side, where would I be today? God has truly been good to me. I can give my personal testimony in saying over and over and over again, God meets my need. Every need that I have, God supplies. And if you are a witness that God has been good to you and you're listening to me, you can call in at 10:30 and talk with me. The number is 347-215-7267, 347-215-7267. Truly, God is good. I love him with all my heart, and I know that he has brought me this far by faith. I've been serving God for over 25 years. I started as a teenager, and I do not have any regrets in serving God. Truly, he has opened many doors for me, and I've spoken in several countries, or a couple of countries outside the U.S. I've spoken around the United States, gotten opportunities to speak inside the prison and outside the prisons and in conferences and revivals. It has truly been a wonderful journey to serve the Lord. And if you are listening to me and you have not made up your mind to serve God, it would truly be my privilege to lead you in prayer tonight to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because truly it is a wonderful life to serve God. If we can continue studying just a little while longer in Ephesians chapter 2, looking at verse 9, the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that refers back to the word grace. In other words, grace is God's unmerited favor. It's not anything that you can earn. You cannot earn salvation. Jesus died on the cross for you freely so that you can have life, and the Bible says have it more abundantly. It is not something that you can earn. You cannot do any amount of works in order to make it into heaven, but you can simply accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So you're asking me, how do I do that? All you have to do is pray and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I confess you with my mouth, and I accept you in my heart, and I realize that you died on the cross for me and rose from the dead for me. And Jesus, I want to serve you. I want you to come into my heart and save me. The Bible says, once again in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't know about you, but I have met a lot of boastful people over the years, and anything that they do, they boast about it, and they have to tell everyone about it, and it just seems as if they're constantly making themselves more than they actually are. Well, Jesus says that the way that he has set it up, no one can boast because he freely gave his life on the cross for us. So no one can boast about what they have done to earn salvation, because none of us can earn salvation. It is by grace, not by works, that we are saved. Look at verse 10 with me. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. In other words, we are not our own, but we belong to God. We are his workmanship. So if we are his workmanship, what should we be doing? We should be saying, God, I need you to change me. If I have some bad habits, God, change those habits. If I have some bad thoughts going through my head, Lord, transform my thoughts. If I am holding grudges against people, Lord, forgive me and help me to stop holding those grudges. Lord, what can I do to be the woman or the man that or the child that God that you've called me to be? Lord, how can I do what you've called me to do? When you take time out and you ask God, God will speak to you. He'll speak to you in a still small voice. And perhaps you might not recognize him at first, but as you begin to pray, you will begin to hear is that we are always in a hurry. Rush, 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 rush. And sometimes I feel bad because people say to me, you know, I know you're a busy person. And the truth is that I'm not as busy as people say that I am. I, too, have to take time and pray and read my Bible and talk to God and listen for his voice, because he does talk in a still, small voice. And you just have to be able to listen for his voice, because when you listen, you will hear him talk back to you. So, my friend, if you're listening to me, don't be in such a hurry every day. Take time to pray. Take time to talk to God. Have faith in God. I know that, like I mentioned before, we're living in troubling times. We're living in times where the money market around the world is in trouble. Europe is having trouble. The United States is having trouble with money. Everyone seems to be stressed about money. But guess what? I have good news again. You don't have to stress about anything. If you would just begin to put your trust in God, God will give you guidelines to help you with your life. He has already given you the biggest guideline, and that's the Bible, his word. If you would begin to practice the principles in the Bible, if you would begin to practice listening to the voice of God and asking him to direct you, I guarantee you he'll teach you about money. I know, because I'm still learning myself. He will teach you about money. He will teach you about life. He will teach you everything that you need to know. But you've got to take time to seek the face of God and allow him to help you. I like that verse 10. We are truly his workmanship. Look at verse 11. I'm still in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I've got good news again. I know you might be saying, wow, such good news. Let me tell you, every time you open up the Bible, God has good news for you. And the good news is that once upon a time, you had no access to God, but Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross for you, and he rose from the dead for you so that you can have access to him. The Bible refers to circumcision because the Jews were given circumcision. On the eighth day, they were told to circumcise the foreskin of their baby boys, and it was actually a good thing that God gave to them, because they were able to keep themselves from picking up many diseases. And so even current doctors use circumcisions regularly on newborn boys. But what the Bible also refers to is the fact that we who were outside looking in, looking at the Jews, who are a blessed people, the children of Israel are a blessed people, they are God's chosen people. We who were looking in from the outside are now engrafted in, and we are now part of that family. But the Bible tells us that the covenant that we have of the promise, once upon a time we had no hope and we were without God, but now we have God in our hearts and in our lives. And we recognize that the circumcision that we have is the circumcision of our hearts. In other words, our hearts need to be humbled before God. our hearts need to be turned towards God. Our hearts need to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. The Bible says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye sometimes were afar off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. In other words, Jesus shed his blood for all those who would come and believe. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, for he is our peace, who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There was a partition. There was a wall between us and God. But Jesus came to break that down. Jesus came so that we can now have access to everything that God has. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. We did not have peace with God. All we had were commandments, many of them man-made, because the original commandments, Ten Commandments that were given to Moses over the years, there were many, many man-made laws that were added to that. And so we were given a lot of man-made things that men told us, you can't do this and you can't do that. But Jesus came and he says, you know what? All those man-made ordinances, even sacrifices that used to be made, those things are not necessary anymore, because I have come once and for all to shed my blood for you, which he did. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, and that ye might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. But through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Isn't it a blessing to know that we have access to the Father? God, who created all things, God who is omnipotent, meaning all-powerful, omniscient, meaning all-knowing, we have access to God. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 19 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Jesus is that chief cornerstone, and Jesus has come, or did come, I should say, when he came and died on the cross and rose from the dead and is now sitting on the right hand of the Father praying on your behalf. Jesus came so that you could understand that you too can be part of the family of God. Turn your Bibles with me again to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 is in the Old Testament, beginning at the 11th verse. As I said at the beginning of this broadcast, our topic is having faith in the midst of trouble. I want to encourage you to understand that one of the easiest things that people seem to lose when they have trouble is their faith. I don't know why it happened. I don't know what causes people to lose their faith. And I have some suggestions. Well, suggestions might be that we find it easy to pray and to seek God when things are going well. But when we are troubled, we get sidetracked, and we start to focus on the trouble rather than focusing on God. And I, you know, have gone through some things myself, and so I know personally that many times I have done that. I have focused on the trouble rather than focusing on God, and God had to remind me that, look, I've got this. You don't have to get yourself stressed out. You don't have to worry, because I have everything under control. And even while you're sleeping, I'm still on the job. And that's a blessing, to recognize that even while I am sleeping, that God is watching over me. He sends his angels to stand guard around my bed. He sends his angels to stand guard around my daughter and other family members. And that he's standing guard around your bed also. The fact of the matter is that God watches over you. He cares about you. And if you look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God knows your end. Even if your beginning was not that good. In other words, we've all made mistakes in our lives. We have all done or perhaps said things in the past that we did not want to do. And so you might have spent a lot of time focusing on your past, but God says, don't worry about your past. I already know what your end is going to be. He says his thoughts towards you, towards all of us, are thoughts of peace and not of evil. In other words, you can have faith in the midst of trouble. You can have joy in the midst of trouble. You can be encouraged in the midst of trouble. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the problem solver. That problem solver is Jesus. The Bible says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Jesus said he'll listen. God says that he'll listen. When last have you prayed? When last have you truly sought the face of God? If you would begin to seek him now, you'll understand that he is listening to you. He said, "When ye shall search for me with all your heart." Let me read verse 13 again, because I really like verse 13. "And ye shall seek me." Do you know what it means to truly seek? I don't know if you've ever lost anything in your house and you just turned everything upside down in your house trying to find it. I know I have. I have, you know, been looking for a pair of shoes to match something, or a pocketbook to match something, or a hat that I wanted to match, you know, my dress. Or I've misplaced things and searched my house looking for them. And there are times when I'll say, okay, well, never mind, I don't have time right now to look for it. But then there's another time when I will actually keep looking until I find it, and sometimes it gets desperate. I'll say, you know what, I'm not going to stop until I find what I'm looking for. When last have you sought God in that manner? When last have you truly spent so much time earnestly praying to God that you felt as if you didn't pray, you just weren't going to survive? I want you to know that God wants you to seek him like that. He wants you to seek him as if you are in a dry and thirsty place looking for water. Anyone who has ever lived in Florida or in any place around the world where it is dry and arid, realizes that when you get that drop of water, when it touches your tongue, you feel so refreshed as if you could just go on drinking that water over and over again. Well, I want you to know that God hears your prayers. He is waiting for you to seek him. He is waiting for you to reach out to him. Why? Because he never stopped reaching out for you. The Bible says, "Then shall you call upon me." I'm back in verse 12. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me." You see, you cannot hear an answer from God until you start to call on him. God wants you to call on him. He wants you to tell him what your problems are. He wants you to seek his face. He wants you to pray. What is prayer? Prayer is having a conversation with God. Prayer is a two-way street, because when you talk to God, he talks back to you. But he first wants you to take time and talk to him. He says, "And I will hearken unto you." The word hearken means that he will hear. He will hear you. Have you ever spoken to people who truly didn't hear you? I have experimented before when someone says, "How are you doing?" And I say, "Fine, thank you." I have experimented by saying, "Well, you know, this is what I'm going through, et cetera, et cetera." And I actually start to tell them what's really going on with me. And one of the things that I noticed was that the person was not truly listening. We have used "how are you, fine, thank you" as a greeting now, rather than truly listening to what the other person has to say. And what I notice about God is that God is not just saying that he hears you just to be saying it. God truly hears you when you pray. He hears us when we pray. Back to verse 13, it says, "And you shall seek me and find me, and you shall search for me with all your heart." When last have you sought God with all your heart? When last have you truly spent real time in prayer? I don't know about you, but I think it's time for the church to get back to prayer. It's time for people to begin once again to seek the face of God. It's time for people once again to start to understand that Jesus is coming soon and very soon. It is not time to be complacent. It is not time to give up. It is time to be persistent. Someone coined the phrase "push, pray until something happens." And I think that it's time for the churches to begin to pray again. Is your church doing prayer meetings? Is your family being called in prayer? I know that prayer is an area that I need to improve upon. Studying the Bible is an area that I need to improve upon. What about you? Are you studying the Bible? Are you trying to get to know the God who has called you, the God who has saved you and is earnestly looking to have a relationship with you? Once upon a time, we could say, "Well, I just did not know. I just did not understand." But today, we cannot do that. We must understand that God is calling us to serve him. He is calling us to seek his face once again. there's a lady, I don't know if you've heard about her, Maria Woodworth Esser. She lived at the turn of the century, and she traveled all over the country doing revivals. And when you read about Miss Woodworth Esser, Maria Woodworth Esser, one of the things that you find in her book, A Diary of Signs and Wonders, the book is called A Diary of Signs and Wonders by Maria Woodworth Esser. One of the things that you find about this lady is that she spent a lot of time in prayer. She spent a lot of time seeking God because she knew that if she did not seek the face of God, she would not have the anointing and the power that she needed to go forward. This lady traveled around the country, and when she had a meeting in one town, you could feel the anointing 15 miles away from where she was having her revival. How many of us can say today in our churches, in our revivals, that someone can feel the anointing 50 miles away? For most of us, that is not the case at all. For most of us, we are happy when the anointing is felt in the room that we're in. Amen? It is a blessing to serve God. God is calling you to have faith in the midst of trouble. How can you have faith today? Go back to prayer. Seek God. Talk to God. Allow Him to direct you. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Meaning that God wants us to believe Him even before we see it manifested. He wants us to believe things in the supernatural. And when we stop believing God, we will see it manifested in the natural. God wants His children to trust Him. You don't have to see the money right now. God is about to provide it. You don't have to see the blessings right now. God is about to provide it. You don't have to see your new house. God is about to provide it. You don't have to see the new car or transportation that you need. God is about to provide it. God already has everything that you need. I want to spend a few minutes praying for those who have been struggling, those who have been wondering, is God really hearing you? Yes, God is really hearing you. If you're listening to my voice right now, this prayer is for you. I want to encourage you and strengthen you. I want you to know that this is not the end, but this is the beginning of your life. I want you to know that God has heard your prayer and that your help is already on the way. Remember to seek His face every day. On your job, in the grocery store, it doesn't matter where you are, pray. Talk to God. Talk to God about every little thing in your life. Talk to God because He does hear you when you pray. Let's go into prayer right now, and then we will finish up. Let us pray. Father, we just bless you right now. We magnify you. Lord, I thank you for those that have been listening to me teaching on tonight. Lord, I pray for those around the world, oh God, that are struggling with their flesh, struggling to surrender their lives to you, not understanding what it means to be a Christian. I pray, oh God, that you would truly open up their understanding, that they would understand about Christianity, that they would understand what it means to truly be a servant of God, a disciple of God, what it truly means to be part of the family of God. I pray for all those, oh God, that do not understand what it means to have real peace and real joy. I pray, oh God, that you would give them a touch. God, teach them about your Bible. Teach them about faith. Teach them about prayer, oh God. I pray for that soul right now that is seeking to know you. I pray that they would just understand that all it takes is for them to ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins and to repent right now. I ask you, Jesus, to touch the hearts and the minds of all those that are discouraged. I pray that you might encourage them and strengthen them right now. I pray for all of those who are sick, Lord, the one watching me or listening to me, actually, who has cancer right now. Lord, there's someone listening to me right now that has cancer in their bones. I pray right now for that person. I rebuke that cancer in the name of Jesus. I pray for that one listening right now that has HIV. Or right now, I rebuke the HIV. Right now, I rebuke hepatitis C right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for one right now that has strep throat, that has been having trouble speaking. Lord, I pray that you would heal that throat right now. I pray for those listening with arthritis in their knees and in their backs right now, that you would heal arthritis. I pray for those, oh God, that have been struggling with bitterness in their hearts, God, that they would forgive those who have harmed them. I pray, oh God, for those who are struggling, oh God, because they do not understand the faith walk and they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they've had so much trouble since they became Christians that they don't know how to move forward. I pray for that one that you would strengthen them in their faith. God, I pray for that one that has lupus right now that you would heal that one. I pray for that one that has dementia right now that you would heal her mind or his mind, God. I pray, oh God, for that child right now without a mother that you would encourage her heart. I pray for those that are hungry around the world, oh God. God, that you will provide food, Lord God. Those who need shelter, that you will provide shelter. We thank you, God, that you are a God that hears and answers prayers. We thank you, God, that in the midst of trouble, God, that you are a balm in Gilead. Lord, that you heal. God, that you instruct, that you give wisdom. God, that you help us. Even when we don't know how to seek your face for help, oh God, that you help us. Lord, I pray for that one that does not know how to forgive themselves. God, that you would show them how to forgive him or herself, oh God. Lord, I pray for that one that is seeking a job. God, that you would provide a job. I pray for that one that is seeking financial breakthrough, or God, that you would give that financial blessing right now. I thank you, Lord, for the understanding, oh God, that we cannot get blessings without first surrendering our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, and at this time, we surrender our lives to you, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for shedding your blood on Calvary for us. We thank you, Jesus, for remembering us. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to serve you. Oh, God, we cannot begin, Lord God, to praise you enough or to bless you enough. Oh, God, for all that you have done for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon families, oh, God, all over the world, Jesus. We thank you that you are blessing even right now. We thank you that you are strengthening it even right now. We thank you that the weak are getting strong right now. We thank you, Lord God, for those that, oh God, felt like giving up. Oh God, that one that felt suicidal right now. Oh God, you're giving them a reason to live right now. Lord, we thank you for your blessings, oh, that you're bestowing upon us right now. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord Jesus. We thank you because in the midst of everything, oh, God, you are there to strengthen and to guide, oh, and to give shelter. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your gentleness towards us, God. We thank you that you hear and you answer prayers, oh God. We thank you that you are healing even now. I speak healing over minds. I speak healing over hearts. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. You're worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. Oh, God, all over the world, where those that are looking to seek your face right now, we thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. This is a praise break that we're taking right now to thank you. A praise break that we're taking right now to bless your name, to honor you, to magnify your holy name. You alone are worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. We bless you coming in, O God. We bless you going out, O God. We praise you, hallelujah. Oh, from the rising of the sun to the going out of the same, your name is worthy to be praised. Lord, I lift you up right now. I bless your name right now. Oh, hallelujah. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. Oh, hallelujah. We bless you. We honor you. And we give you glory. I thank you, Lord, for all those that are seeking your faith. I pray, oh God, that they would understand how much you love them, how much you care about them. And, oh God, for the one that thinks that he or she is alone, I pray that you remind him or her that they are not alone. But, God, I pray that you would just touch right now. I pray for that healing going out right now. Lord, there is healing going out. Oh, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that even headaches are leaving right now. Backaches are leaving right now. I thank you, Lord God, that you are giving strength. Strength, special strength right now. Oh, God, for that one that is grieving over a loss of a loved one. I thank you for special strength right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Encourage right now. Strengthen right now, God. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Beloved, for those that are listening to me, I just want you to know that when it seems as if it is your darkest hour, it is actually your greatest hour. Because just before, or shall I say, just after your darkest hour, it is just before morning. Just when it seems as if things are going to get worse, God says, not so. Things are about to get better for you. I want you to understand and to know that even when others discourage you, God said, don't pay attention to discouragement, but understand that God is still here to encourage and strengthen you. I want you to understand that many people discourage others because they themselves are struggling on the inside. And so, if you talk to a person who is trying to discourage you, flip the conversation. Don't allow that person to stay in that negative self-talk. But help them to understand that in Jesus Christ there is hope. There is never a time when you have to feel as if you're alone, because you're never alone. There's never a time in your life when you have to feel that you should give up, that you should take your own life. No, that is not an option. Giving up is not an option. Taking your own life is not an option. God gives us alternatives to all of that, and the alternative is to put your trust in God. When you put your trust in God and when you have faith, even in the midst of everything going on around you that might not be what you want or what you expected to happen at this time in your life, when you put your faith in God, God turns things around for you. My friend, if you're listening to me tonight, God is turning things around for you. Don't stop believing God, and don't stop realizing that for every tear drop you, that falls from your eyes, that God hears. He sees. And he knows everything that's going on in your life. Revelation 21, verse 4 says, he will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All of that has gone forever. One of these days, we shall meet in that beautiful place called heaven. One of these days, there's going to be a glorious celebration up in heaven. I want to see you there. My friend, join me there one of these days. I want you to know that though it might seem discouraging at times, don't be discouraged. Hold your head up. God loves you. He cares about you. And I want you to know that in the midst of everything, he's going to make a way for you. Do you believe it? Friend, whether you believe it or not, God is watching out for you. God has already provided everything that you need. He is waiting on you to believe what he has already said. His promises are true. He has never... The songwriter actually says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor is seed begging for bread. As I leave you tonight, I want to have you hear this song once again. It's a song by Second Chance Ministries, and it's called To Bless, To Be Stressed. And as we go off the air, I want you to listen to this song. God bless you, my friend. Join me tomorrow evening as we continue the study, having faith in times of trouble.
Man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, him is my Protector. Right now, I am close to what I'm blessed. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm close to blessed. Close to blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed to be blessed. Too anointed to be disappointed. Up early this morning, outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later, and the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to take hands. Like Johnny, you can't fool in a dustpan. Up on the news, the devil can't touch that. Just be a cop to get back. Cause I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too annoyed to be disappointed.
can solve them one by one. We back and expose them. So when Satan are moving at your house, we not to worry, cause we know how to get him out. Bring the blood of Jesus Christ out of your mouth, and the one Satan him a forget out. Just on your knowledge, no life in the darkness, and your life is filled with happiness. I'm from the north, the devil can't touch this. Everybody come sing this. Say I'm too blessed to be blessed, yeah. Too anointed to be disappointed.
Tomorrow, this is Evangelist Faith Reed signing off tonight. Have a blessed night, and please join me on tomorrow evening, once again at 9:30 p.m. for this.